who are the master of all living entities? Of you. Vachasa. Under the direction. Adhisha. O my Lord. Lokaha. Conditioned souls. Kila. Indeed. I am. These. Kama hatta. Conquered by lusty desires. Anubadaha. Are bound. Aham. I. Cha. And. Loka anugataha. Following the conditioned souls. Vahami. Offer. Balim. Oblations. Cha. And. Shukla. O embodiment of religion. Animishaya. Existing as eternal time. Tubhyam. To you. Translation. O my Lord, your direction, all conditioned souls, as if bound by a rope, are constantly engaged in satisfying their desires. Following them, O embodiment of religion, I also bear oblations for you, who are eternal time. Please repeat. O my Lord, you are the master and leader of all living entities, souls, as if bound by a rope, are constantly following them, O embodiment of religion. I also bear oblations for you, who are eternal time. In the Katha Upanishad, it is said, stated, that the Supreme Lord is the leader of all living entities. He is the sustainer and awarder of all their necessities and desires. No living entity is independent. All are dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Vedic instruction is that one should enjoy life under the direction of the Supreme Leader, the Personality of Godhead. Vedic literatures like Ishopanishad direct that since everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not encroach on another's property. The best program for every living entity is to take direction from the Supreme Lord and enjoy material or spiritual life. A question may be raised. Since Kadama Muni was advanced in spiritual life, why then did he not ask the Lord for liberation? Why did he want to enjoy material life in spite of his personally seeing and experiencing the Supreme Lord? The answer is that not everyone is competent to be liberated from material bondage. It is everyone's duty, therefore, to enjoy according to his present position, but under the direction of the Lord or the Vedas. The Lord gives the opportunity to enjoy material life as we want, and at the same time he gives directions for the modes and processes of abiding by the Vedas, so that gradually one may be elevated to liberation from material bondage. The conditioned souls who have come to the material world to fulfill their desires to lord it over material nature are bound to abide by the Vedic rules. That will help one to be gradually elevated to liberation. Kadama Muni addressed the Lord as Shukla, which means the leader of religion. One who is pious should follow the rule itself. No one can manufacture or concoct a religion. Religion refers to the injunctions or laws of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that religion means to surrender unto Him. Therefore, one should follow them because that is the ultimate goal of perfection in human life. One should live a life of piety, follow the religious rules and regulations, marry, and live peacefully for elevation to the higher status of spiritual realization. End of purport. Om Gyanan Dhanandasya Gyanan Chalanchalakaya Chakshuramitamne Tashmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pratishthaya Bhutare Smati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nevishesha Sundavari Paschat. Translation again, O my Lord, you are the master and leader of all living entities. Under your direction, all conditioned souls, as if bound by rope, are constantly engaged in satisfying their desires. Following them, O embodiment of religion, I also bear oblations for you who are eternal time. Kadama Muni is approaching the Supreme Lord. He has seen him face to face after performing the prescribed methods at that particular, this is Satya Yuga, prescribed methods for approaching the Lord. And now he's going to, he wants to fulfill the desires of the Lord through Lord Brahma, become a progenitor. And now he's making his request to the Lord to please send a suitable wife, partner. Of course, he's with the question Prabhupada mentions here, which has also been raised in the class before. Why did Kadama Muni want to enjoy material life in spite of his personally seeing and experiencing the Supreme Lord? Because we heard so much, you know, our goal is to be face to face the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'd all love that, but, and after that, then that would be, you know, we think that's it. That's it. There's no looking back on the material life again. And probably it's true, actually. There are of cases like this one where Kadama is also a different category. He's very in the whole pastime of the Lord's material creation for the... So whether... Because Srila Prabhupada says the answer is... that not everyone is competent to be liberated from material bondage. So, in other words, not such an easy thing. Here is seeing the Lord personally face to face, but still is something. So this is for the benefit of those who are advancing in spiritual life and maybe feeling a little complacent because they've advanced above everyone else around them. They're not very nicely situated in the mode of goodness or even transcendence. And as we know in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, from the mode of goodness comes a sense of happiness, better position. And you actually know that. You actually know that. Because you acknowledge and you can see other people's situations. If you're more in the modes of goodness, then you can easily understand where someone else is in a lower position. It's difficult to judge a person who's above you, obviously, but a person who's in the lower, then it's not difficult to understand. So that feeling of well-being, you know, because we actually came here, the original desire is to be the Lord, to be the controller. And then you lose the modes of passion, ignorance, become situated in the mode of goodness, therefore become complacent. And sometimes that complacency is interpreted as being cold or indifferent to devotees. You know, you become be feeling, you know, that the small problems that other people are being affected by are insignificant, but they're not for those people that are being affected by them. They're not insignificant. Like our problems maybe are significant for us. We have to live with them. We have to deal with them. But if we go to a very advanced soul, then he just laughs it off, and you know, that's nothing. But for him, it's nothing. So therefore, one has to be a little sensitive with some devotees. But anyway, that's for the very advanced souls. But here, we're thousands of years later, down in Kali Yuga, bottom of the barrel, living entities. Everyone is bound by a rope, Krishna's, all these conditioned souls, and we're all following Krishna's direction, indirectly, or directly, but conditioned souls, in the rope. He's made the universe, he's put the controllers in the universe, this is how it's going to work. So he puts all the demigods who are faithful to them. So that is the situation. There's just like a rope. We've been bound by the Shrina prison without any bars. We've heard so many times it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And those, they're keeping us here. It's not that we need any physical chain. That we're voluntary staying here. Even though sometimes it's against our own will. Even when we understand, even when we've heard what is going on by the mercy of the sadhu, by the mercy of the Lord and the scriptures, we understand what's going on, how much attached we are, and actually we're enjoying that attachment sometimes. Some of it we're enjoying, half of it, some of it we're enjoying, some we're not enjoying. It's called conditioned life, because you don't know the best situation in the prison. You're first class prisoner, Prabhupada said, second class prisoner, third class prisoner. So if you're a first class prisoner, you're feeling okay because everyone else is getting less facilities than me. Everyone else is suffering more than me. But still, you're a prisoner of existence of the living entity. It's not our proper existence. It's not our proper happiness. It's not our proper life. It's a temporary situation that will be changed very, very soon. So this is this attachment is to sense of being the controller and acting for our betterment and happiness, our safe situation. And the happiness that we can derive from that, from a comfortable position, this is actually what's keeping us bound in the material world. But this is all going on by the arrangements of the Lord. It says this. But this, hearing about it is, you know, it's the first step. Hearing about it, then it brings you to your senses. But still that, Krishna says, you may restrain the senses from the objects, which are getting us and lead us into trouble because they're misplaced. but the taste of material, the taste doesn't go away because we've experienced this rasa, this taste in the material world. It still lingers on, and that is what is actually attracting us until we actually develop. We practice a lifestyle which is a much better lifestyle, and eventually we become attached to this lifestyle, the lifestyle of a devotee. So although we've adopted the lifestyle of devotees, still the mind form where we used to get other tastes there. So this is the rope or the shackles and the chains that are actually binding us here. We don't want to let them go. So if we're still hanging on to them, then how much can the Lord, quantity that you're keeping for yourself, then to that degree that you can't realize the Lord. The Lord can't manage. The degree you give that up and are open to that, then when the Lord desires, he can reveal himself fully. So the ball is in our court. The Krishna says, reward you accordingly. I reveal myself accordingly. So it's up to each individual first to how much do we actually want Krishna? What is the price? That price is if you want Krishna completely, then you give yourself completely. But that we're not willing to do. Like Kadama, he's not willing to do that. So he wants to address them, he thinks they're important, and he has to address them like us. So then so in that case, then he says he's a very pious person, obviously. So then there's religion. If we can't just forget about it, become indifferent to material desires and to being the controller and the enjoyer, if we can't just become indifferent to it, then we have to deal with it. So how do we deal with it? So Krishna's given, you know, you have these material desires. So here's how to approach it. Here's how to deal with it. So then, that is religion. So religion will cater for these lusty desires. and also steer you in the right direction. But there it is. Here's your religion. Here's a Veda. Here's your religious thing you want to enjoy. Okay, do it this way, in a religious way. So this is your parameter, what you can enjoy. This is your quota of enjoyment. This is what you can do. But you have to abide by the rules. So, and if you do that, then that is piety. And you're guaranteed a human birth, at least. The very, very bottom thing, you're guaranteed another human birth because you're following that. I'm talking about mundane religion. But as soon as those, you feel that those, there's too much imposition, too much restriction, you want anything on another's property, or you're taking what is not yours. It's quoting from the Ishupanishad that everything is, everyone has their particular quota to, and there's a way to enjoy that. It doesn't say you don't stop it, you don't enjoy. It says, but there's a way to enjoy. It means rules, it means restriction. It doesn't mean how you like, whenever you like. So there's restriction there, but you can't enjoy it. So that is tapasya, performing some tapasya. But if you want over and above that, then you're considered a thief. You're credit for it. And you have to pay for it. You can't avoid that. You're going to have to pay for it later. You're going to be involved, that means you're going to be implicated again in karma, which won't be a very good result in that respect. So that is the rule. And it's because we have so many desires, so many things to do. Says the conditioned souls, as if bound by rope, are constantly engaged in satisfying their desires. That means from morning till night, we engage in satisfying our desires. Now, the motivation for any kind of endeavor is desire, and we're active all day long. Right? So to fulfill that desire for, first of all, the desire for safety is there because of the situation we're in. The material energy is not a compatible situation for us. And from the moment you get up in the morning, you step to the bathroom, you're forced to take bath, do things like that. You're forced to take your breakfast and defend yourself. And then throughout the day, we're desiring to achieve something. Right? Then over and above that, throughout the day, then you adiatmic, adidevi, adivolti, unexpected things come in apart from your regular maintenance. But there's always so many other important things to do apart from, you know, wondering how you're going to feed your family and get your next food, or and so many other things we think about all day long, not just the regular how. Anything. You know, what kid am I going to send my school to? This, if I send him to that school, if I get into that school, it'll be different. What shall I, you know, how shall I spend this time? Should I read? Should I chant? The spare time? But in any case, we're constantly thinking of doing something, isn't it? Constantly what shall I do next? What shall I do next? If you have spare time, that is. Otherwise, if you have engagement, then you more or less know what to do. But that's for a purpose. You know, so a whole day is going on and on and on like this, different things. But nobody in the conditioned souls, they don't bother, they don't ever stop to think, you know, what's it all about? What do you achieve at the end of the day? Now, if you've gone through the day without any hassles, you know, it's a good day, right? But what have you actually achieved as far as, you know, something which is worthwhile? Of course, in devotional service, everything is worthwhile. There's no loss or diminution in devotional service. But what is it all for? We're getting through the day somehow or other. We've got to really endeavor just to get through the whole day. But what is it? What is it for? Because in the morning, you'll wake up, you're going to do the same thing again. Another set of things. You can't avoid that. Another set of, so many important things to do. Every day it's the same. So many priorities we have. that we do it, if we fulfill this desire, then we'll be happy, we'll be situated nicely, we'll be peaceful, we'll become Krishna conscious, we'll become whatever, materially or spiritually. Prabhupada said, materially or spiritually, you should be happy by whatever you want, material happiness or spiritual happiness. Follow these injunctions. That's the best thing you can do. Of course, there's some. That's the pasya. It means some restriction. We don't like, the living entity doesn't like restriction. You know, we didn't come here to be restricted. We come here to fly and, you know, be God. In the spiritual world, it's like that. Restrictions are unnatural. In the spiritual world, there are completely no restrictions. You can fly in the spiritual world. You can do whatever you like in the spiritual world. But the qualification for getting there, into that spiritual world, is that you've given up those material desires. So that doesn't happen there. And then you've got service to the Lord in the spiritual planets. You have service to the Lord. And even though you never use it for your sense gratification, because you've got something better. You've got service. Krishna's there. You've got that service. So that doesn't come into the factor anymore. Even though, so as soon as you give up that desire for my selfish facility, you get unlimited facility. But then you don't need it. Then you don't want to use it. Not for yourself anyway. Not for the same purpose. You use that enhancing Krishna's pleasure, to service to Krishna. So it's very ironical how it works. That, you know, you really want to get this, you know, control and enjoy a situation that, you know, you're really peaceful and really well situated. Okay, you get it there, but you don't want it. You don't use it like that. Everything is there. Desire trees are there. It's the stone, the ground, the stones of Chintama. You can have whatever you want. And Dhruva Raj, I'm searching for. He was a big enjoyer. He wanted a huge empire, kingdom. He said, I'm searching for broken glass, and I found a diamond. In that search for broken glass, I know I have to go to God to get it. My mum told me. In that search, here comes God. Okay, what do you want? I don't want that anymore. Well, now I see you. Kadamba, he didn't say that. He's seen the Krishna face to face, Vishnu face to face. But still, he's the living entities that Krishna is leading around like on a rope, engaged in satisfying it, following them, O embodiment of religion. I also bear oblations to you. In other words, I'm one of these. I'm not on that category. I don't have the adhikar to be your unalloyed purity. I'm in this category, but I'm a very pious person. I'm following all the rules. I'm coming to you. This is what I want. Please fulfill this. So whether it's, you know, if it's is acting like that, reality is there. This is going on. So anyway, we would think that seeing the Lord face to face, and obviously you wouldn't, and probably you wouldn't. So like in the case of Dhruva, the Lord touched him with his conch shell, and that was it. That was a complete transformation. But desire was there. But anyway. Even in the case of Dhruva, he had to stay around for a long time in the material world. He got his desire fulfilled. No, Raj, I have to uphold the my vows. You come to me, you perform the proper thing. Now I've got to give it. So he went, oh damn, got to stay in the material world for thousands and thousands of years. Of course, he was but he said, don't worry, you know, you'll never be misled by your senses. I'll always be around. You know, you won't be affected by Maya. So. That's not a, for you, it won't be a problem. But still, he had to stay there. But for devotees, and it's for someone in that elevated consciousness, and it's not, doesn't matter where they are, as long as it, because they have that service to Krishna. So here we, for the conditioned souls, we're conditioned souls. We should follow very strictly all the rules, and that's why there's so many rules. There's rules for eating, rules for sleeping, rules for mating, rules for defending. All those rules are there. So it behooves us to follow those strictly in the conditioned state. In the process of sadhana bhakti, our only shelter really is that is complete, you know, adherence to the rules. Unless you have, you know, a higher taste, unless you've actually overcome the another nifrity period and come to the taste of ruchi, where you're actually getting a taste for devotional service. Taste means, you know, it's coming from the heart, you know. Exciting, you know, you really wanted, you're feeling blissful doing that. then it's, what else is it? If that, you're thinking, feeling, and willing. So where is that other taste coming, going to? What are you getting taste from? So that's anatta nivritti, all those anattas. These tastes, these material tastes are still there. So until you've actually crossed that situation, until you actually are developing some, you know, you're peaceful. You come to terms with your conditioned life. You've come to terms with the material world. You've come to terms with spiritual life. You're equal now. This is the middle portion. This is now it's all downhill. Ashakti. What comes before Ruchi? Nishtha. Yeah. Stage of Nishtha. So that stage. Then there's no looking back at that stage. But of course, there's always pitfalls, as we see. Even up to the stage of Bhava, but for as far as we're concerned, it'd be indifferent to the material rasas because you have a spiritual taste, you know, tangible. Now we're only hearing about it, we're reading about it, and we're seeing other people with it, but where's ours? And it's easy to be indifferent to Maya, but until then, it's not such an easy thing. Don't go outside of that, and then you're safe. Time is over. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Tai Gopinandi, Hari Hari.